This Bible talk, titled Why Resurrection, is on Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 25. This sermon was given at Robina on Easter Sunday, 2022.
Happy Easter, everyone. Happy Easter. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and on this long weekend of chocolate-induced coma, here you are in church. Over two millennia later, we are here celebrating the resurrection of a Jew who claimed to be God. Now, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, here's what you believe. Let me remind you of what it is that you signed up for. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. The on the third day bit, he rose again, is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostles' Creed lists the resurrection right alongside the virgin birth. But in a skeptical world that demands evidence, where we dismiss the spiritual and the supernatural for science, the resurrection and the virgin birth are fundamental to Christian faith. Foundational. These are the non-negotiables that we confess. Friends, the church rises and falls, no pun intended, on the strength of the resurrection. Such significant miracles of Jesus, more than walking on water and feeding the 5,000, that the virgin birth and the resurrection still get their own public holiday. No other miracle that Jesus did gets a public holiday, although you'd reckon turning water into wine is worthy of a long weekend in this country. But why? Why does the resurrection matter to us? Why is the resurrection so important? Why is it significant? Why the resurrection? Well, George went on holidays, family holidays, to the Middle East. Even though he took his mother-in-law with him, he had a good time. But during their holidays in Jerusalem, George's mother-in-law died. With the death certificate now in his hand, George went to the embassy. There he made arrangements for his mother-in-law to be sent home for burial. The official told George at the consulate to send her home would be very, very expensive, as much as $5,000. The official said that usually the person responsible for the body just decides to have the body buried here in Jerusalem, which only costs $150. George thought about it for some time, and then he said, "I don't care how much it costs me, I'm sending her home for a proper burial. That's what I want to do." The embassy official said to George, "Considering the significant price difference, $150 and $5,000, you must have loved her very much." "No, that's not it at all," said George. "You see, I know of a case of a man many years ago who was buried here in Jerusalem, and after 3 days he rose from the dead, and I just can't take that risk with her." Now, my mother-in-law told me that joke, and my apologies to anyone who's heard that one before. If you're visiting with us this morning, we've been looking together at the book of Galatians here at Salt Church. At Salt Church, we work through books of the Bible because we want to hear what it is that God says to us. And there's only one place where God promises to speak to us today, and that's in his word, the Bible. And while the Bible is one book, it's made up of 66 different books. And so here on Sundays at Salt Church, we work through books of the Bible to hear what God has to say. Now, you didn't come here this morning to hear me speak. You came here to hear God speak. And if you're willing to listen, God still speaks to us today. And just so there's no confusion, I am not claiming to be God. This term that we've been looking through the book of Galatians, it's a New Testament letter to some churches in central Turkey. And this Resurrection Sunday morning, we're going to look again at the book of Galatians. And this time, we're going to see why the resurrection matters. Why is the resurrection significant to our faith? Why is the empty tomb important for us? How does the resurrection change the way that we live? You know, lots of churches on Easter Sunday will talk about what happened at the resurrection, and that's a very good thing. But this morning we want to see why. why the resurrection matters, how it makes a difference to us now. So, why the resurrection? Well, the resurrection changes the way that I now live because it signals that the old has gone. You see, the empty tomb still matters because it means the times have changed. The resurrection is central to Christian faith because it changes the way we view ourselves and others. See that with me, won't you? Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, the words are here behind me. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus gave himself for our sins. Friends, that's Good Friday. By his resurrection, Easter Sunday, Jesus rescues us and delivers us from this present evil age. Why does the death and resurrection of Jesus matter? Why Good Friday and Easter Sunday? Because it means the times have changed. This present evil age isn't how old you turned at your last birthday. And it isn't about music and media and money, although that's certainly part of it. Jesus rescues us from this present evil age because this present evil age stands condemned. It's under God's judgment. It stands to be condemned, demolished, along with those who belong to it, which includes us because we are sinners. But Jesus rescues us from this present evil age and he delivers us into the age that is to come. The resurrection then signifies the dawning of this new age, a whole new creation, a whole new people of God. You know, this broken and fallen and fractured and evil world isn't simply going to keep on going forever. How could it possibly? Scientists will tell you that we are unsustainable. Something has to give soon in this planet. Media reports of war and chaos and upcoming elections, which make us long for an age where none of these things happen anymore. The constant yelling and protesting and screaming for equality tells us that things in this present age aren't right. And our bodies, they're not going to keep going forever, are they? You know that too, don't you? I'm in the age bracket now where things that never got mentioned by my GP need to be regularly checked by him. I'm like a used car without a service warranty. We are constantly surrounded by the shattering effects of sin in our broken lives. Sorrow, loss, grief, guilt, shame, fear and uncertainty, they populate and punctuate our days. And it's not all just out there, is it? It's also deep within us as well. The pain of broken relationships, the sorrow of broken dreams, the ache of broken things. Our world isn't going to keep going on like this forever. But God will be glorified forever and ever. And the forever and ever bit is the age to come. Friends, God has set the timer. It's now ticking. This world is set to be condemned. But Jesus rescues us from the condemnation that is to come, and he delivers us into the age that is to come. Jesus' resurrection flicks the switch, rescued from this present evil age, delivered into the age that is to come. You see, the empty tomb is still important because it means the time has changed. So, why the resurrection? Because it changes the way we live now. It signals that the old is gone and that the old in me is gone too. Why don't you see that with me? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you become a follower of Jesus, you're not you anymore. And that's nothing that a Snickers bar is going to fix. It's good that you're not you anymore. When you tell other people that you follow Jesus, some people will tell you that you've lost your mind. But the truth is, you've lost your life. And that's the only way that we can become found. I no longer live, says Paul to the Galatians. I live for the one who died for me. Jesus gave himself for my sins. He rescues us from this present evil age because he loved me and he gave himself for me. When Jesus said to his disciples, come follow me, he was on the way to being crucified. Being a Christian means that you belong to Jesus. It means dying to self, Good Friday, being raised to new life in him, Easter Sunday. We've been crucified with Christ, so we no longer live. You're not the same person anymore. The old is gone. The time has changed. We enter into new life in the new age. We live for the one who delivers us. Friends, I am not the same person that I once was. I am not the same guy that I used to be. I was a high school dropout with a drug addiction and a death wish. But I am not that person anymore. I've been rescued and delivered by Jesus. Thank God. And there's a whole bunch of other people here this morning who aren't who they used to be anymore either. Thank God. Because God now brings us together as a family. We live out our transformed lives together. No longer living for ourselves, but for Jesus. So following Jesus means you get you out of the way. The resurrection matters because it means the old me is gone. And because the old me is now gone, the resurrection changes the way that we view other people. Look there with me again, chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Listen, the distinctions that we make about others, the conflicts created by religion, the judgments we make according to class, the prejudice we show according to race, the inequality we experience from gender, the bias that we show based on appearances are no longer relevant anymore. There are no distinctions in the new age. All one in Christ Jesus. Our world wants equality. Our world cries out for peace and unity. But only the church has what the world wants. The church is supposed to be the place where the world's problems are answered. The significance of the empty tomb is now on display for you this morning in this room filled with different people. People of different ages, of different nationalities, of different social statuses, different genders. Proof of the resurrection. All those old distinctions are no longer relevant. The past and the present are now gone. Friends, don't you see what's happening here? Jesus is gathering a new humanity. The new people of God he calls the church. The risen Lord Jesus created the church to be a community of his disciples, transformed by the love of God, learning to grow together in love for God and for our neighbours. Hey, if you don't like diversity, you're really going to dislike eternity. And church isn't going to be much fun for you either. Why is the resurrection significant to our faith? Why is the empty tomb important for us? How does the resurrection change the way that we live? It changes the way that we view other people. We no longer see them from a present perspective. We no longer value others based on what they do for us. We no longer prize them on how they make us feel. With eternity now in our minds because God has set it in our hearts, the resurrection begins the new age. And so our status gets an upgrade and an update. We move from slaves to sin, to being sons of God. See that with me, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. The resurrection seals our redemption. It guarantees our eternal inheritance. From slaves of sin to sons and daughters of God. From God's condemnation to being his children. From out in the abyss to calling him Father. From the marks of slavery to sin to being sealed by his Spirit. Redemption through slavery to sin only comes through Christ's resurrection. Don't you see? This is why the resurrection matters to us. This is how the resurrection makes a difference. If you follow Jesus, you're not who you used to be. You're becoming someone entirely different. A child of the living God. A son by the Son who was sent to save us. Guaranteed an eternal inheritance. Adopted into the new family of God. Citizens of the new Jerusalem. The heavenly city that's now above. The Spirit of God now living and working in you to change the way that you live. It's got to change the way that we live, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbours as yourself. You see, we're no longer obligated to ourselves. No longer obligated to rules and regulations. We love because of the love of God for us. Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. Friends, love is the fulfillment of the law. The old law that we could never keep, the old law that we could never obey, was a law that excluded us from God's people, that excluded us from being God's people. But the resurrection changes all of that. The law has now been fulfilled by the love of Christ. And because we view people differently, we are now free to love others. Free to love our neighbours with the love of God so that they might be his disciples too. You see, the risen Lord Jesus created the church to be a community of his disciples, transformed by the love of God. Learning to grow together in love for God and our neighbours so that by our lives together, our neighbours are drawn to the love and transforming power of Jesus to become his disciples too. You see, from lovers of self to loving others, from being self-serving to becoming a servant, from being hateful and hurting to being humble and hopeful. We live lives that are altogether different because the old us has gone. And the new has now come. Look there, chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So we put to death the old life, the old us, and we begin to walk in newness of life because of the resurrection. Primal passions and desires are now replaced by the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit that we now keep in step with is the Spirit who is leading us into this new creation. The old is gone, friends. The new has come. Chapter 6, verse 14. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, we now view others differently. Dead to the world, made alive to the things of God. We couldn't keep the law, but we keep in step with the Spirit, rescued by this evil age, from this evil age, delivered into his new creation. Friends, that's why the resurrection matters. The resurrection means everything to us. And so now we need to stop asking why the resurrection matters and to start living lives like it does, so that by our lives together, our neighbours are drawn to the love and transforming power of Jesus to be his disciples. That's why the resurrection matters. That's why it's foundational to us. That's why it matters. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that because Christ is risen, it's not the end of the story, but just the beginning. That you take what is old and you make it new. That you are at work transforming us from our old self to being more like Jesus. And so we pray this morning, wherever we are on our journey with him, whether we're just at the beginning, or we haven't even started yet, or whether we've been following you for a long time, would you help us to come and follow you, to learn from you, to walk with you, to become more like you, Lord Jesus? Would you continue the work of transformation that you've begun in us, that we might see people differently, that we might not be lovers of ourselves, but lovers of you, that makes us love other people? Open our hearts this morning, Lord Jesus, because the tomb has been open, because your love and your arms are wide open to us, and because you love us, would you enable us to live such different lives together so that others might know that your invitation is open to them so that they can be forgiven too? Would you help us here at Salt Church to be that community that loves you and loves one another so that our neighbours might know of your love and transforming power? For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.